Hello and welcome to a mini bonus solo show of the Most Best Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Williams, and as I am the main host and not the co-host, I don't have to come up with a catchphrase. So I wanted to do a little mini episode just to get things off my mind, essentially. I've been at this podcast now, I believe, since July. Pretty much just week in, week out, I'm either looking to book the fine co-host with the mo-host, get them over to record or get to them to record. I've got to mix the episodes. I have absolutely no idea how to do that, so I'm learning that as I go. I've got to make sure they're all uploaded on time. As you can see, recently, they just haven't been on time, but that's because I took a week off for my birthday and then just kind of, I've gotten lazy again. But the time off has got me thinking, really, that I have been going at this pretty solidly, and given I work full-time, and I love how whiny and complaining this is sounding, but no, I work full-time, I play in bands, very sporadically I'm doing stand-up comedy on the open mic circuit, I'm doing some illustration, and I'm burning myself out, to be perfectly honest. So what I did, I reached out to a fantastic Facebook group. It's called the Podcast Support Group. I believe it's run by Helen Zaltzman. And I reached out to the fine people on there and just got it off my chest. I wouldn't say I was falling out of love with the podcast, but I'm finding it hard to keep up with the workload based around everything else I do. I'm not really giving myself time to actually chill out and decompress. So I reached out to this Facebook group and they give some really sound advice. A lot of people saying they're in the same position. It's a global group. There's people, well, you know, Facebook works. There's people from all over the world. And I got some great advice where people were just saying, it is hard. It's hard to do it all on your own. And that's why a lot of podcasts you'll find would be in seasons, for example. And I'm going to take that on board. So I'm going to see if I can wrap out the end of the year with a straight run of Most Best Podcasts each week. And then we might take off January, which will just not only give me time to think about where we can take it further, what other ideas, but I could book, I don't want to say better co-hosts with the mo-host, because everyone's been fucking amazing so far. I'd like to say thank you to the co-hosts with the mo-host from what's essentially now wrapping up to be season one of the Most Best Podcasts. Drew Taylor, Malcolm Tent, Tim Holhouse, Sandro Ford, Dylan Jones, Sarah Bridgman, Sharni Thomas, Alex Perks, Rebecca Louise, Callum Stewart, Noel James, Haley Southgate, Sam Beard, Chris Waters, Tom Reese, James Dunn, Mountain Man Bradley Sloans, Charlie Hunt, I've already recorded the episode and it may come out before this, but Mike Powell, and whoever will get to close out the year. Thank you guys so much for coming into my really oddly decorated spare room. It's literally a junk room, guys. Like I play it up on the podcast. Like, it's the Most Best recording studio, but it's where my boiler is. It's where all the boxes of stuff that we've never unpacked since living in this house for like 4.5 years. All my scrap skateboards that I don't ride anymore. Some old busted guitars. Bookshelf. Provided to me, actually, by my Most Best Drunk Movie Review co-host, Tom Reese. funnily enough, one of the reasons me and my girlfriend Gemma moved into this house in the first place is that from my bedroom window, I used to be able to see Tom's bedroom window when he lived in his parents' house. Unfortunately, he's grown up now. He's a grown-up boy. He's got a grown-up job and a grown-up girlfriend and a grown-up life. And we always talked about getting Spider-Man walkie-talkies, and we never did. And now he lives all the way in Cardiff, and I know it's not that far, but it's not as easy as having him around, you know? He just used to let himself in through the front door. There was a load of times where I wouldn't tell Gemma that Tom was coming over, for example, and like, she'd walk downstairs and Tom would just jump out of nowhere and scream, "Murder!" And she would jump out of her skin. It would be hilarious, but we'd also get in a lot of trouble for scaring her. But yeah, getting off topic, thank you to all the co-hosts. Honestly, that is a great fucking lineup of not only talent, but stellar people for the first season of the Most Best Podcast. If you have any suggestions to who you'd like to come on in the future, maybe yourself, you know, maybe you know someone you think would be good on here, don't necessarily have to be a comedian. As long as they can just hold a conversation and be funny, then awesome, come over to my house and talk to me. So I am recording today. Today is the day that the date is Monday the 12th of November. It's 10 past 9 in the evening. Gemma is currently in a Gary Numan concert, which he's playing with an orchestra and boasting the largest light show that he's ever had on stage. We saw him last year in the Tramshed in Cardiff, and I nearly went blind with the amount of lights that guy. So to see his largest light show and an orchestra, I reckon that's going to be a really cool show. But I decided not to go because I don't mind Gary Numan, but he's not really my cup of tea. But I got home from work. I've just had the week off. So today's been my first day back, and it was okay. It was nice catching up with everyone, but I forgot how stressful work can be. So I've come home tonight, and I have the house to myself. So I thought, what better way to spend it than rambling to the most best listening audience? You guys need to come up with a better name for yourselves, because I'm, as I said, bored of doing everything myself. And the most best listening audience is really fucking weak for a fan club, which is what you are. So be better and come up with a better name for yourselves. You can email me about it on mostbestpodcast@gmail.com. All the social medias at Most Best Podcast. Come up with, it's, you know, one of, you're all funny people. One of you's got to be able to come up with a better name for the listening audience than the most best listening audience. Although you are the most best, and that's why I call you that. So yeah, As I said, I'm in the house by myself. And I've decided to, well, I was deciding to when I was making my dinner. I had a pizza. You know I had a pizza. It's pretty much what I subside on. And that's why I'm going to die fat and happy. A salty boy of joy, that I was going to try this, try to do a solo episode and talk to the ladies and gentlemen by myself, because that's something I've absolutely never attempted to do. I don't think I have anything of worth to say, but we'll see. So I was making my dinner, my pizza, my lovely, lovely pizza, and thinking, right, I need to set up the podcast equipment because I went to Cardiff last week to record the Mike Powell episode on location in Mike Powell's house. And I haven't set it back up since I've come home. So I set it all up, and as my pizza's cooking, I'm checking on my phone. And first of all, I saw today that they've announced a Ryan Reynolds live action Pikachu movie. And as you can imagine, the internet went mental. It looks okay. It also looks like it could be an absolute raging piece of shit. In my opinion. But then again, I haven't produced a movie or written a movie or, well, I've been in a movie. The band I play in, Hangmen, with my boys Al, Daryl, and Tim. Al, I don't know how he is involved, but he is involved in a lot of, British B-horror movies. I think the first one was called Conger. I don't know if you're supposed to really put the on the end of it, but it makes it more fun. Recent one he's been involved in, Hard to Kill. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm very excited about it. Check it out if you get the chance. But he somehow got us the gig in the background. Basically, right, there's a horror film out called The Legend of Halloween Jack. And Al, the beautiful Al Jenkins, knew the people making the film. And there's a party scene in the film, and they needed a band in the background. And they got us to come in and mime to our own music in a village hall. You know, it was a big empty room. And we thought it'd be a party thing, but it was literally just an empty village hall stage and a bored looking camera crew. And us with we wheeled an amp, set up drum kits, got everything set up, and mimed to a CD player for 25 minutes, and then went. But I do appear in the background of a scene in The Legend of Halloween Jack, directed by Andrew Jones. On Google, the synopsis is, on Halloween night, a serial killer returns from the dead to take revenge on the vigilantes who put him to death 1 year earlier. That is always a great setup for a horror film. Who doesn't like a bit of supernatural revenge? Motherfucker, I just got, I don't know, I'm sorry I just called you a motherfucker. That was very, very out of character for me. I got a big Michael Myers portrait on the inside of my right elbow on the weekend. So I'm all about that supernatural revenge. Although saying that, I always found, which is what I like at spoilers about the new Halloween. I don't know, if, is it a spoiler? Then maybe I may go into spoilers. But the whole cutting back to it being a sequel to 1978 John Carpenter's Halloween, and negating the whole story of Michael and Laurie being brother and sister. Danny McBride, who I believe was involved in the writing, potentially, I don't know if he was direct, I think it was just David Gordon Green directed the new Halloween. And he said in an interview something along the lines of, as soon as Michael was Laurie's brother, he was less scary to me because he's not my brother, so he's not going to be coming after me. So that's, I love that what they've done with the new Halloween. How did you like the new Halloween? Let me know. Once again, the Twitters and the Instagrams and all that are that A in a circle, but not like a full circle, kind of just tails off underneath the A, if that makes sense. And then the name of the podcast, but it's all in one word and it says Most Best Podcast. So it's A in a circle, like incomplete A circle, Most Best Podcast. Tell me if you like the new Halloween or if you haven't seen it, if I've spoiled it for you. I'm going way, way, way off topic to what I originally wanted to talk about, but I like the waffle. I can't remember where we were in the conversation. I can't really commend you for your side of the conversation so far. To be perfectly honest with you, I feel I'm doing a lot of the talking. So let's just take a couple of seconds for you to ask me a question. Not fucking ruined. It's absolutely ruined, but choose to bring it up. So anyway, back to today's story. I quite like this, which is very narcissistic for me to say. I very much like the sound of my own voice, and I hope you do too. So the Ryan Reynolds Pikachu, fucking hell, we had gone on a bit of a tangent there, hadn't we? I want to say the David Beckham Pikachu movie, which for now, that's what we're going to refer to it. So Ryan Reynolds plays David Beckham playing Pikachu in a live action slash CGI, because there's no such thing as live action or real life Pokemons. But like, it's a real guy is a cop and he wanted to be a Pokemon trainer when he was a kid. And then he goes home and there's a Pikachu there. And it's established in the trailer's narrative that it's, you know, like in Pokemon when they just say their names. Basically, you find out that they are talking, but that's just what you hear. Because Cop Man, McSon of Cop, who is now also a cop, can understand the Pikachu, and it's Deadpool, which no one saw coming. And that's incredible. Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool, playing David Beckham, playing Pikachu as Deadpool. That's some fucking next level. That makes James McAvoy look like an absolute fucking chump, if you ask me. Good on Ryan Reynolds. That's some fucking multi-tiered acting. And we've all seen King Arthur, and we know it takes a special kind of terrible to act like David Beckham. So the mastery of that is, it's just applaudable. Bravo, Ryan Reynolds. But still, I can't say I'm all that excited personally about it, because I've never been a big Pokemon fan. But you know who is a big Pokemon fan? And that's everyone else. Everyone's a massive Pokemon fan. So everyone was chuffed. Around 6 o'clock, the internet nerds were so happy. Just elated. Look, it's Ryan Reynolds, Pool Beckham, Bend It Like Pikachu, the movie, which is live action, but not actually because they're CGI. But yeah, as you can imagine, everyone's playing Pokemon Go. I've never understood that because it's just like maps, but you can just pretend there's Pokemon and then you don't have to download the map. And then to go back to where I originally was, which was in my kitchen cooking said delicious, just beautiful. It wasn't even like a good pizza. It was an Asda's frozen, just like pepperoni pizza. And if anything, on the standards, on the pizza scale, it's probably a bad pizza. But a bad pizza is still better than like a good anything else. I honestly love pizza. I really can't emphasize that enough. That really is my kryptonite. Or is kryptonite? No, that's a bad thing, surely. Yeah, it's the opposite. Whatever gives Superman a hard on, that's what pizza is to me. So there's a Pikachu movie. The nerds are excited, so I'm excited for them. I'm getting a lovely, lovely, horrible, bad pizza. And then the news breaks. I saw it, like, someone posted it as soon as it happened, and then I Googled it in disbelief, and there was, like, very few reports, and I realized that's because, like, the news had just broke. And I'm not a religious man, but I mean it when I say, God bless him, Stan Lee has left the building. I am absolutely fucking heartbroken. And I know everyone is, and, like, I'm just Twitter and Facebook, all, like, Pikachu the movie, it's like having your birthday and everyone being really excited for your birthday, and then Stan Lee dies. And then your birthday's always going to be the day that Stan Lee dies. Well, that's what the trailer day was for the Pokemon movie. So every single time, not just me, but I'm sure a lot of people see that trailer, they're just going to go, oh, man. It is an absolutely fucking tragic loss. As I look around the room I'm in right now, I can see some X-Men books. I've got the Marvel Comics, A Visual History. I've got this giant compendium of, like, the best Marvel covers of the past, like, 50 years. All my single issues are in a box to, like, my right in the corner of the room. And that's predominantly Marvel. And it's just kind of weird. And I know it's not, like, a close relative or anyone I even knew. But it's just, when you think about the scale of, if you look at modern, the modern zeitgeist, if you will, modern pop culture, and what elements of that, and how much of that came from Stan Lee, just sat there in his New York apartment, writing these stories, creating these characters. And I know it wasn't just him. There's always the collaboration with the artist, and he worked with some of the greats in Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko. But Stan the man, you know, he had his hands in creating Spider-Man, the Hulk, Doctor Strange, Daredevil, Black Panther, Fantastic Four, X-Men, co-writ stuff like Ant-Man and Iron Man and Thor. This guy literally birthed the Marvel Universe. All the characters you see around you constantly, on a daily basis, like some fucking kick-ass minions, to be honest. That's a good point, actually. I haven't seen any minions in a while. Is that dying down? Does anybody know if there's going to be any more Despicable Me films? If you have any leads on this and you would like to get in touch, remember the email address is the name of the podcast, but once again, it's all one word, so it's Most Best Podcast. But this time, remember that A, but it was like a circle around it, like the tail came around over it, but it never joined back up with itself, just kind of trailed off like a shooting star, or a Catherine wheel, maybe even A, the Catherine wheel A. That's behind where it says Most Best Podcast. And then after that, it says Gmail, which is G-M-A-I-L, Gmail, full stop, com. So that's Most Best Podcast, Catherine Wheel Ale, Gmail, full stop, com. And let me know if there are going to be any more Despicable Me movies. I need to prepare for that. If I'm going to be continuing to have these conversations with you, I need to know when I'm going to be at my angriest. And I think my angriest is going to be through the advertising stage of the next Despicable Me film. Because it's the same studios doing The Grinch with Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm not even a big fan of the Jim Carrey one, to be honest. It's all too Christmassy for me. Oh, controversial opinion. Once again, we're going off topic. Stan the man. He created just, like, essentially how, from characters he created or had the hand in creating, the entire film industry has been irreparably changed, if you think about it. In as much as Iron Man comes out in 2008, and films in 2008, when you think about at the time, especially, you know, before the first Iron Man film came out, Marvel had dabbled in, like, Daredevil, X-Men, Spider-Man films. But no one would really expect an Iron Man film. There was the cool Iron Man cartoon in the Fox Kids era of Marvel cartoons with Fantastic Four, the X-Men, Spider-Man. But apart from that, Iron Man, up in my life, had never been a character I'd really ever paid attention to until 2008. Went up against films like Wall-E, The Dark Knight, Tropic Thunder, Step Brothers, Cloverfield, which was like one. I saw that the opening day in the cinema and then the morning after. Like the opening night and then the morning after. But just some solid, solid, solid movies came out in 2008. And all of a sudden, there's this Iron Man film. And everyone's like, okay. And they watch it. And holy shit, is there an Iron Man film? And it's gripping. And it's action-packed. And the characters are likable and engageable. And shock twist, there's a post-credit scene. And they're setting something up. So Iron Man's a success. And then 2010, they go for it. 2 years later, boom, let's give them the Iron Man sequel. And it wasn't the strongest film. Everyone rags on it. I still think there's a good movie in there, but it doesn't seem to be the popular opinion on Iron Man 2. But once again, they're nodding towards something. They're building up to something. Then comes Thor, 2011, Captain America, 2011. All of a sudden, these stories are starting to intertwine. Things are starting to make sense, and then, boom, 2012. Marvel Studios released The Avengers, a collaborative team effort of characters they'd been building up in the movies for the last 4 years, you know, over a decent couple of films, to build a lasting narrative and to interweave the characters and the storylines in a really satisfying way that a film of like two and a half hours still couldn't do. And it's a success. It blows people's minds. They're great films. They are engaging. They are just popcorn movies, but they have a special significance to kids like me who grew up reading some of these characters in the comic books. And then, as I say, they're all Stan Lee characters. Well, mostly Stan Lee characters, but it's the Marvel Universe, and he is, everyone knows he's the guy who was essentially the cornerstone of that company. Then the formula clicks in other studios. Oh my god, first all DC. Oh, Warner Brothers, panic. What? Disney have acquired Marvel and they're doing very well. Well, let's do very well. Oh, look, they're doing that shared universe. Okay, let's just do, like, three bad films just, well, was it three? Three bad films, Man of Steel, Dawn of, no, I think it was only two. No, Suicide Squad. Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, Dawn of Justice. Wonder Woman, good film, terrible third act. Boom, Justice League. Straight away, everyone's in, everyone's Justice League in. And you guys have already heard me and Tommy Reese's opinions on that movie. And if you haven't, there is an episode a bit further back you can go listen to where we drunkenly, I don't want to say destroy that film, because I enjoyed it in the most perverse way. But Warner Brothers, and not just Warner Brothers, Universal with the Dark Universe, trying to set up all the Universal monsters in a shared film, kicked it off with that absolutely tremendously bad Mummy film with Tom Cruise. Me and Tom watched that the other day for an upcoming potential episode. We tried to record it and Tom fell asleep on the sofa at 10 o'clock in one of our most best drunk recordings. Basically, I went up to Cardiff to record the episode with him, and then we had a couple of beers in the pub, and then we went to his house and we had a couple of beers and we recorded the first third of the episode. And then we got some food, had a couple more beers, and bang, 10 o'clock, Tom is out cold. No waking him at all. And I'm a guest in his house, and it's just me and him, and he is just, boom, out for the count. He's full of sweet and sour chicken balls and cheap beer, and he's happy as Larry, curled up like a cat on his couch. So we didn't get round to finishing that episode. And to be honest, that film was so tough that I don't want any part of it, to be honest. That's not for me. But as I say, these studios otherwise wouldn't be trying to rush to set up shared cinematic universes as they would have been if it hadn't struck for Marvel. But what Marvel had in their back catalogue, and I'm not saying DC don't have this, because obviously they have the other great superhero roster in as much as Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Superman, Flash, but they hadn't spent enough time building up to the team film where they all finally meet up. You know, Marvel, pretty much everyone apart from Black Widow and Hawkeye had their own setup, but they'd been, Black Widow, I think, had been set up and other stuff. It's been a while since I've watched them. But it was all established, and then they all came together, and it was so satisfying that all these stories finally came to a head, and we finally got to see what it was all building to. And other studios just didn't grasp that magic, and I put that down to not only care and attention into mapping out the universe, but care and attention into the characters that they do, because once again, these are all, and this is, I apologize about this ramble, but this is really me just verbalizing, coming to terms with the fact that fucking Stan Lee is dead, man. That's absolutely fucking nuts. I know it's really not going to affect my life in any great way. I was going to say they may not cameo him in films now, but they may have to do one of those like CGI cameos. But fuck it, he deserves it. He can be CGI cameoed into any film he fucking deserves. I'm grief gushing, I think is the best way to describe it. So yeah, it's been a fantastically odd day for the emotions of nerds on the internet. All the highs and excitements of Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool's, David Beckham's Pikachu the movie starring Deadpool. Very, very excited. Boom. The godfather of the modern comic book. Gone. And I want to be the, I don't want to be the first to say, fuck no, you know, the news broke hours ago, but I just want to take this opportunity to say, Stan Lee, thank you so much for all the good you did in the world. And God damn it, Excelsior. Oh, that felt good to get off my chest. I think this is going quite well. I'll only know if it's going quite well when I get back to editing it and finding out if any of it made sense, because I think there's been like a plottable kind of narrative to what I'm saying, but there also might just be the disorientated ramblings of a lonely man. So what do you guys want to talk about? Because I've enjoyed this. I think I might started this episode on a down note saying, guys, it's about time I give myself a break from the old podcast. And I feel enlivened now. Me, oh my God, it's the guests that are holding me back. And do you hear that? I didn't even call them co-hosts with the Mohos. I called them guests. It's great because I'm sat in the table where we record, but I'm staring at an empty setup for a co-host. So I'm just shouting aimlessly into the void, hoping that the souls of past, present, and future co-hosts feel the just the weird loneliness. My girlfriend went away for the night, and I've resorted to just talking to myself in my spare room. So, as I say, plans going forward then. Fuck it, let's spitball some ideas. I'm going to do it seasonally. I'll do seasons. But how's about we can do these on the regular? You know, maybe just a bit shorter episodes. You know, maybe 40, 45 minutes, just one-on-one, a bit of me and you time. It's been a while since we've talked, you know. I just want to make sure you're okay, let you hear my voice. We have already discussed just how great that is, so you're welcome for that. And then it'll take the pressure off with the recording with co-hosts. Not that I'm going to stop doing that. I want to do that as much as possible. I want to see, you know, who we can get on the show, what stories they can tell us, what salacious allegations, shocking gossip, and outright disgusting diatribe we can say about Callum Stewart. I don't want to spoil it, but goddammit, me and Alex Perks have plans for his return episode, which is going to be spectacular. It's going to be like a stadium event, so be excited for that. Who do you want on the podcast? I remember I said earlier, but tell me again, you've enjoyed this episode so much, I know that you've forgotten to get at me about if you want to, if your friend wants to, as long as they're not an absolute disgusting, you know, troll, horrible bollock of a human being. And you know what I mean? We like to keep it cool. It's a happy, friendly, fun time in the Most Best Podcast studio. So if you get in touch with me, please don't come on here thinking you're going to, you know, say shocking things and get away with it, because god damn it, I'll just delete the file. But no, get in touch. Let me know. Come on the show. And that's what we can do together to kill some time in this lonely, lonely, lonely little life we lead. Remember, if you do want to get in touch, if you want to be on the show, if you know somebody who should be on the show, if you have anything you want to ask, if you've got suggestions for segments, if you've got jingles you want to send in, if you've got anything, if you want to interact in absolutely any way with the podcast, it's as simple as going on yours or someone you know's tablet device. Make sure it's someone you know, because I found in my experiments that people can get quite hostile when you approach them about their tablet devices. So make sure it's, you know, someone you know personally, or you know, you may work with. Ensure you have washed your hands at least some time that you can remember recently, and go to either Twitter, which is the bird one, Instagram, which is the little camera one, Facebook, which is the one that harvested your data and sold it to corporations. And remember, it's just search. It's as easy as little weird Catherine Wheel A. I hope you realize every time I say that, I've been drawing them out, but onto my desk. So now I've got all these little weird Catherine Wheel squiggly incomplete A's. It's something quite sad I feel about the way the tail just kind of just tails off. Is that why that's why at least one of those is called a tail? I just figured that out. I just don't know which one. But you know, it's this A, it's fading. It's going to spin round and eventually be nothing, and your email will be gone, disappeared into the ether. It's just this little A. It's bumming me out. But it's one of them. And remember, it's all one word after that. Spaces won't get you anywhere. All one word, fast as you like, long as you can, but make sure it is the appropriate amount of letters. Most Best Podcast. Infinitely sad, twirling cosmic A through the universe into nothingness. Most Best Podcast. Oh, there's the email. Once again, it is Most Best Podcast. Honestly, I can't talk about it anymore, but you know the one I mean. The Catherine Wheel A. Sorry about that. I've confused myself. Most Best Podcast, Catherine Wheel A, gmail.com on the email. So as I say, we'll keep it going, ticking through till January, which time, or maybe just around Christmas time, I'll do some into December, and then I'll take the festive period off. We'll organize some nice treats for you. Hopefully I might continue doing these if Gemma will stand the fact that I want to now spend time in a separate room to her talking to nothing. I'd rather be doing that than spending time in a room talking to her. I hope she doesn't see it that way, because I know she doesn't listen. It's fine. thank you all so much for humouring me in this weird fucking little journey I've decided to go down. It's been fun, but way, way, way more stressful than I expected, but mainly fun. So bear with me. We'll stick to it. We'll build it bigger, stronger, better, mostest, bestest. Thank you all ever so much, and good night.